Well, our message and our subject this morning is counterfeit Christianity. Fake, false Christianity. Turning to Mark chapter 13, we're going to continue after a 2-week break in our series in the book of Mark, Mark's Gospel. And I want you to look particularly at Mark 13 and come down to verse 22 and 23. Mark 13, verse 22. This is what the Lord Jesus says. We hear his words. For in those days, false, fake, counterfeit Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders, to seduce, to mislead, if it were possible, even the elect, God's chosen people. What would you say if you had 3 days to live? The Lord Jesus is speaking on Tuesday of the final week of his life. He's going to die. He's going to be crucified. We've been looking in Mark 13 at his words to the disciples. He's been preaching and telling parables in the temple. He's gone to the Mount of Olives, and there he is looking across Jerusalem. He sees the sun setting as it's setting on his life. Maybe it's glinting on the white marble of the dome that's covered in gold and the marble underneath it. He has days to live. What would you say? You've only got a short time. He's going to be tried 3 times. He's going to go to Calvary, and cruelly he will be taken by wicked hands. He will be trialed for sin that he has not done, for the sins that I've done and the sins that you've done, if you are one who will trust in Christ. So the Lord Jesus comes. Maybe you think this is a strange subject. Wouldn't you say something nice? Wouldn't you tell a comfortable story to make people say, oh, what a wonderful man he is? But he doesn't say that. He says, take heed. Be very careful. You disciples, and you and me, who are reading Mark's Gospel, be very careful. When it comes to the end of time, there will be fake Christians, false Christians, fake preachers, false Christ. People that say, I am Jesus Christ, I've come. And they will mislead many, many people. That's the message here this morning. What would you say? Well, it doesn't much matter. What did Christ say? He was so kind, so gracious, so merciful. He didn't want anybody to be tricked, misled, deceived. He wanted us to know the truth. He wants you to know the truth this morning, and me. He wants us to walk upon the straight pathway. And so that we're not surprised, he warns us again and again in this passage. He says, take heed, watch out, be very careful. So that's really our message this morning. Well, this is a chapter and this part that confuses many people. My first heading this morning is the beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning. The answer is going to be, this is the end of the beginning phase of the world. You see, God made the world. And from the beginning of time, there was sin. And no sooner was the sin in the world that God gave a covering for sin. And he said, if you take of an animal, and if you sacrifice that animal, and the blood is shed, in the picture, there will be a Saviour. In the shedding of blood, there can be forgiveness and cleansing. And all the way through the Old Testament, up until the day that Christ dies, there has been sacrifices, signposts, emblems, physical things, temples. And when Christ comes, that's the end of the beginning. But it's not the end. It's just the end of the first phase. The time of symbols, the time of sacrifices, the time of signposts, pointing. We have a deaf person here this morning. We're using signs to communicate, to point to other meanings. That's what the Lord Jesus gave in the Old Testament. Signs pointing to Christ. And when Christ comes, 3 days after this chapter, he's going to die. Every signpost can be taken down. There's no need for symbols. There's no need for doves, lambs, bulls. There's no need for any more shedding of blood. Because Christ has shed his own precious blood. And that was the blood of a perfect person. One life for many lives. So that we can be forgiven and cleansed. Well, let me show you what this means. There's a very strange expression here. Verse 14. When ye shall see, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, the abomination of desolation. Now, if you've got a Bible, I'd like you to turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel and chapter 9. You don't need to, but you might find this helpful. The book of Daniel and chapter 9 and verse 27. Daniel is speaking hundreds of years before Christ was born. And he says this. Verse 27. And he, that's speaking of the Lord Jesus, shall confirm the covenant, the promise that was given in Genesis 3:15, with many. He'll preach and tell people for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What does this mean? This means that when Christ comes, all the sacrifices will be taken away. In 1 week, Christ will die. He'll rise again, and the Old Testament is over. All the sacrifices are gone. And then it goes on to say, for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Let me explain what that means. B.C., before Christ, 175 years before, there was a man who came called Antiochus Epiphanes. In the temple that I've explained to you about, he erected a pagan altar there in Jerusalem. The great temple that had been built and rebuilt, Solomon and then Zerubbabel, there in the temple, he erects an altar to a false god. Daniel's prophecy had been fulfilled. But in AD 70, just before Jerusalem is going to be destroyed and the temple turned into a pile of rubble, Caligula, one of the Roman emperors, is going to put a statue of himself in the middle of the temple. Daniel's prophecy is fulfilled again. But you know the prophecy here in Mark 13, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation. What that means is God's holy place, the temple, is made foul, polluted. A statue of a Roman emperor in God's temple. The statue of an idol in the holy place. What did God think of those things? Didn't it hurt him? Wouldn't he have been offended? In God's holy, holy, holy place comes statues and pictures of Roman emperors. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. But he's speaking forward of two events. AD 70, the fall of Jerusalem. I've told you about that. But the prophecy is greater than that. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus' second coming. Let me give you an illustration. If you were to go to Scotland or the French Alps and you decided, I want to climb a mountain, that's a good thing to do. Climb up a mountain. You get out of your car, you start to move towards the mountain. You think there is one mountain, but the closer you get, you see there's not one, there's several peaks, and there's a gap in between them. And you realize the Lord Jesus here is speaking not of one mountaintop, but several. They all seem to come together in this passage, but there's a foreshortening of prophecy. This is what's going on. Let me read it. In that day when Jerusalem will fall, they will flee to the mountains. Oh, but it means more than that. The Lord Jesus says, he has such concern for the people, he says, there'll be a man on the housetop. Don't go into the house and pack your bags. It will be too late. There will be somebody working in the field, a farmer. Don't go back and get your coat. It will be too late. There will be a woman expecting a baby. Run for your life. There will be a mother caring and feeding her children. Don't turn back. And when that day comes, the fall of Jerusalem and the coming of Christ for the second time, it will be a day of terrible affliction. Verse 19, in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation. Now this isn't speaking just of Jerusalem. That's a promise too big to be fulfilled just when Jerusalem falls. This is now speaking of Christ's second coming. Verse 20, except that the Lord had foreshortened those days, even the elect whom he has chosen, they might be misled. This is now speaking of the second coming. The fall of Jerusalem is just pointing to a much bigger catastrophe when the Lord Jesus comes again. Now here's the question. Were they ready when Jerusalem fell? The farmer, the man on the housetop, the mother who was expecting a baby, were they ready? Like Lot's wife, did they try to turn back? Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed. She turned back. What happened to her? She was turned into a pillar of salt. When Jerusalem falls and you try to run to the hills, don't go and get your hat or your coat. It will be too late. You need to escape. And here's the message for us this morning. When the Lord Jesus comes again, Will you be prepared? Will you be ready? Will you be packing your bags? Will you be getting your Bible out and trying to find a promise to trust in? It will be too late. The Lord Jesus will come. This is what he's saying to them and to us now. He's telling them, be warned, be careful, be prepared. Make sure when you're on your housetop, you know if the Lord Jesus comes that hour, you know you have a Saviour. You know that your sins are forgiven. For he will come, as he says later in the passage, like a thief in the night. Be prepared. Be ready. So it's a warning. The beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning. For them it was the end of the beginning. For us, when you hear those signs that we'll come to, it will be the beginning of the end. Well, secondly, the big theme in this passage is counterfeit Christianity, fake Christians, fake churches, fake preachers, fake miracle workers. Oh, that's strong language. What right have I got to say that? Look down at verse 21. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ. Do you know when Jerusalem fell, Josephus, a famous historian, says that there were people that said Christ had returned. It was fulfilled then. But you know, people say that today. They say, I am Christ. It's been said many times. Or they say, here is a special prophet. You go to him and he'll tell you the future. Or here is a miracle worker. Come to me and you can throw your wheelchair away. The Lord Jesus says, don't be taken in. Believe him not. I am the only Christ. I will give you the signs. I will give you the notice and the warning of my coming again. Verse 22. For false Christ, not one, many, and false prophets, many, shall rise and shall so show signs and wonders to seduce, to trick people. Do you know the Lord is so kind? He says to us down through the ages, be very careful. Be discerning. When you decide which church to go to, you decide, is this a Bible church? Is this a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God? Or do they bring other things in that are false and fake? I don't want to encourage you to do this, but if ever you come across those channels on the television called the God Channel or Revelation TV, or you happen to see something on YouTube and you see people saying, give me your credit card number. Send me your wish. Send me your request. And if you send me $100, your wish will be granted. Those people, they want your money. They're false prophets. We know they are. Because no true servant of God will ever say, give me your money and I give you your wish. That's for fairy tales. That's not for churches. That's not the way God works. We never ever want your money. We want you to know Christ. You go to him without money, without price, and he will give you by faith, if you come in his way, your desire for spiritual healing and spiritual blessings. Well, there's another term mentioned here. It's mentioned three times. And this sometimes confuses. He mentions the elect. What does that mean? God's chosen people. You can look it up. It's mentioned in verse 20, verse 22, verse 27. God has a chosen people. Well, that used to confuse me. Does it confuse somebody here this morning? If God has a chosen people, what's the point of evangelizing? Because we don't know if a person is one of the chosen. And surely, we're all robots, just doing what God tells us to do. And many people think this, that's unfair. If God has a chosen people, what happens if I'm not one of the chosen people? I can't be saved. Well, many of us have had those questions, and I include myself. But this is how we explain it. You see, it depends where you start from. We start from the fact that we are all hell-deserving sinners. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has sin in the heart, in the mind, and on our hands. We've got blood on the carpet because of what we've done. Because we've murdered people's reputations. And we've said things that were gossip. And we've told lies. And we've hurt and offended and so many other things. And the fact is, if we're honest, it's an amazing miracle that one person should be saved. And the question we need to ask is, why me? Why could I be forgiven? Why did Christ die for me? Because I don't deserve to be forgiven. And the fact that millions, billions of people have been forgiven and will be in heaven is an astonishing miracle. And the fact that God says, whosoever will may come, is beyond a miracle. And so when we look at this question of election, it's not really a problem at all, because we're all sinners. We all deserve punishment. But it doesn't need to happen. Because Christ says, come, come, believe, trust in my word. And the only condition is repentance and faith. And he says, whosoever will may come. And the fact is, he says, my house, heaven, it's got many rooms. If it was not so, I would have told you. And there's still room. There's still room to come in. And he never says to me as a preacher, and he never says to you, you are not one of the elect. He says you can come. Because he works in our hearts in such a way that we desire him and we want him. The problem is us. It's not God. That's election, as simply as I can explain it. And he says here, the elect may be misled by false prophets. Is that possible? Is there a church somewhere where you've got a false preacher and a miracle worker, so called, and there's somebody coming to that church and they have believed in Jesus Christ? They're a genuine believer, but they don't know much better. They haven't yet come and been convinced of the words of God and the New Testament explaining how Christ is the miracle worker that we need. Not a false prophet, not a false teacher. And so when he says, verse 22, false Christ, false prophet shall rise, and they shall show signs and wonders. Do Do you know if a church promises signs and wonders today? I can tell you on the authority of this verse, it's a false church. Christ said so. The signs that were given were for that period of time when the Bible was not complete, when the apostles were authenticated and authorized to go out, and he gave them special powers. But we now have the Word of God, and there are no longer apostles. We don't need apostles, because God's Word is here. And so he says, speaking of AD 70 and the coming of Christ and the interval between the two mountains, he says, don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't be misled. Even child of God, chosen one, don't be deceived. Verse 23, take heed, be very careful. Be discerning. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you watch. Be careful if you're at home and you're watching something that maybe this won't do you any good. Because these are false prophets. Do you know sometimes even famous preachers are proven to be phony? They were lining their pockets with money taken from poor people who gave it to them innocently, gave their credit card details to that so-called ministry. Very often you can tell so-and-so ministries. The person's name goes at the beginning. You can tell they're a false prophet because the money was for them. And there, let me look at the prophecy here, verse 24. In those days, this is so clearly speaking about the coming of Christ. In those days, this is the third heading this morning, Christ's second coming. In those days, after that tribulation and trial, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars of heaven will fall. That didn't happen in AD 70. It's as though the helicopter or the aeroplane is taken off, and now it's looking down on the mountains, and we can see AD 70 and the day that nobody knows the date of, when Christ will come again. Have you noticed how false prophets and false teachers and cults say, on such and such a day, it will be the end of the world? Nobody knows the day. The Lord Jesus tells us that. Nobody knows the hour. Here's another sign. They shall see the Son of Man, verse 26, coming in the clouds with great power and great glory. Nobody will be mistaken. People will be caught out. It's as though they'll be on the rooftops. It's as though they're out in the field. Notice how the Lord Jesus uses two illustrations about women. Never ever say that Christ did not have a heart for women. He lifted up women in a culture and a time that suppressed women. And here he uses two illustrations. The pregnant woman. The mother. He cares for them. He spoke to the woman at the well. He wanted to lift her up. He cared for his own mother as he's dying. Care for my mother. You see, Christ has a heart. He has a heart for those who would be deceived. He has a heart for those that are not prepared for the second coming of Christ. He has a heart for the women. And he says, be careful. Now there's two parables as we come to conclusion that he uses just to reinforce the point. He says, look at the fig tree. He loves fig trees. Fig tree. The branches are bare. The buds begin to swell. The fig comes out before the leaf. And then the leaves come, and he says, you know it's summer because the leaves and the fruit Come on the fig tree. What does that mean? You know Christ is coming again when the bud swells and the leaves shoot. And you know that Christ is coming again when there's a rise of false Christs. And when there's a proliferation of channels on the television taking your money and making promises. And churches in Bedford and elsewhere that are deceiving people. You know the bud is swelling. The leaf is coming out. You know Christ is nearly coming. And then he uses a second parable and he says, the world, it's a bit like a man, the Son of Man, that's Christ. Verse 34, he's taking a journey. He's left his house, his church. And he's given authority to the servants. That's the pastors and preachers and leaders. And he said to every man his work and commanded them what to do. And he says, watch, watch, watch. I've gone away, but I'm coming again. I've given you pastors and preachers and officers and Christians, I've given you some authority to build the church, to preach the gospel. But you don't know when I'm coming again. Then he says, verse 35, and these are challenging words. Anybody that's not prepared to meet their judge, listen to this. Verse 35, watch therefore, ye know not when the Master, the Lord Jesus of the house, cometh. He might come in the evening. He might come at midnight. He might come at 6 o'clock in the morning when the cockerel crows. If you're not ready, spiritually speaking, you're asleep. You've not trusted in Christ. You've not had your sins forgiven. You don't have peace in your heart. You're not believing his word. You may have been deceived. He might find you sleeping, spiritually, flat on your back, snoring away. Christ is coming. I don't know when, but I know how, and I know who, and I know he'll come to this earth, and I know why, because God tells me so much of the future. The same as you. He says, watch. Be prepared. Don't be caught out. Don't be tricked. Don't be deceived. The Lord Jesus is coming again. What are some of the signs of a counterfeit church? A fake, false, deceiving church. Any church that undermines the deity of Christ, that's a false church. All the cults, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, they undermine the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a false church. Any church that says Christ is not powerful, all powerful, to save and to heal, and so you need to add something to Christ, that's a false church. Any church that says we don't need the Word of God only, that's a false church. Any church that says there's another way to be saved, you can come up the mountain many ways, that's a false church. Because the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. There's no other way into the fold but through Christ and through the one door, which is him, and by faith alone in Jesus Christ. If anyone teaches any other gospel, that's a fake church. This is what the Lord Jesus says. All that the Father hath given me, his chosen, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will not cast out. John 6:37. He says this in John 10 verse 5. A stranger, a fake, will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers, counterfeit Christians. John 10, verse 27, the final verse. My sheep, my chosen, the ones that I've loved and I've died for and I've suffered for, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Oh, what comforting words they are. What a merciful Saviour. 3 days before he dies, he warns us. And he says to his disciples, be careful. In your lifetime, Jerusalem will fall. You'll be scattered. And in our lifetime, maybe it's that soon, Christ will come again. The signs of counterfeit churches are all around us. The fake preacher that wants your money, the one that promises you the world and has no authority to do so. They're all around us. Is the Lord coming soon? I hope so. Maybe that's why he says in verse 37, and what I say unto you all, watch. Are you watching? Are you looking? Are you ready? Are you prepared? If Christ comes again tonight, do you have your sins forgiven? Are you right with your God and with your judge and with your kind Saviour? Oh, come to him. Plead that he will forgive you. There's no more sacrifices. No more signposts. We have the one that they pointed to. Jesus Christ. The only Christ. There is no other Christ. And no other Saviour. Trust in him. Even this morning. Watch and pray.